And here's Chris Omni, an Echo Spiritualist, two-time TEDx speaker, three-time first place 3-minute thesis winner, Black women's health researcher, published author, documentary filmmaker, international presenter, community mobilizer, and former health motivation columnist. Chris Omni holds a bachelor's degree in human services and 2 master's degrees, and 1 in public health and 1 in liberal arts. Chris is right now a doctoral candidate at Florida State University, where she is researching black joy in green spaces through the methodologies of autoethnography, narrative inquiry, photo elicitation, and nomadic inquiry. Most recently, Chris's TEDx talk, Granny's Garden, How to Grow Black Joy, featured the first public poetic theorizing of black joy. Chris deeply values the unapologetic use of her voice and agency to speak life, love, and light to all people, with a particular emphasis on black people. She views her body as a vessel that has not only delivered life, but receives life in the form of lessons and abilities from the ancestors. As others have stated, Chris Omni is a whole vibe. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
I am so thrilled to be speaking with somebody who talks about growing black joy.
Yes, that would be me, a black joy scholar, activist, and artist.
Are there particular plants that grow black joy, or is it more of a mindset?
In terms of particular plants, for my healing garden, I love rescues. And I would say over 90% of the plants that are in my healing garden, I have found on the side of the road. Somebody discarded them, put it in a trash pile, or even at a store, put it on one of those racks that said, you know, help yourself. So it's really about just pouring love into these spaces and receiving the love in return.
All right, love and joy. This weekend when I was teaching about roots and seeds, we were talking about amaranth and lamb's quarter, and both the greens and the seeds of amaranth and lamb's quarter, and how they have revitalized some indigenous communities and reclaimed these foods as part of their diet. So I was wondering if there was plants like that that you were focusing on.
Oh, I see what you mean by that question. No, I don't look at the nutritional aspect of my plants. I look at the healing aspect of the rescuing. And like I said, it's the journey of finding and pouring love into them. And I'm not as versed on the nutrition piece of it.
So the joy is about being present in nature and being there and being in a garden, and not so much focus on a goal of making a particular thing grow, but enjoying being there.
It is that, and also if any of your listeners have clicked on the TED Talk, this is going to be very familiar, but to repeat what I said in the TED Talk, that black joy is a statement, black joy is a stride, black joy is permission, black joy is pride. Black joy is a form of resistance, and black joy is a form of rest. Black joy is anything and everything you need it to be, because truly, black joy is the best. And when I put that poetic theorization in the context of green spaces, the statement that I've been making about these rescues is truly about watching something that somebody else, i.e. society, has discarded, and being able to nurture it to its fullest potential, and to see that life that has already been there all along. So that is representative of the statement. For it to be a stride is a movement. And through my artistic practices, I focus on slow movement. That is so, and I think that maybe you could relate to this, that when you are growing, it is a slow process. There's no way that you could just plant a seed and expect it to magically appear as a plant or a flower the next day.
So my voice teacher sometimes uses that image. He says to me, excuse me, you're tearing the flower open instead of letting it bloom.
Oh, yes. Yes,
patience.
Yes, and that's the stride. That's the stride. So every part of my theorization can really be felt and embodied in these green spaces.
Do you find people saying to you, well, that's all well and good if you have a green space, but I don't?
Now, you said that's well and good if you have a green space. Are you referring to...
I ask you if people are saying that to you.
Well, I
don't
know.
I talk to people about weeds and using weeds, and they sometimes say, well, that might be fine if you have a garden, but I don't have a garden. And I say, well, weeds grow in cities, too.
Okay. I see what you mean by that. Because when you said green space, I just instantly went to how many people talk to me about not having a green thumb. Because for me, there's a difference between having a green thumb and growing with a green heart. But to use your language of having a green space, that can happen in your home. That can happen on a porch. That can happen in your kitchen. That can happen in your bedroom. If you have a space, then you can create a green space and a green corner. And it doesn't take much.
I totally agree. Sounds wonderful. I have seen some great little herb gardens on fire escapes.
Right. Or even like in windowsills and kitchens, growing herbs that way. It's a matter of how creative can you be with your space? And are you willing to share that space with a living green spirit?
What happens then? What happens when you share your space?
You learn how to cohabitate. You learn lessons from Mother Earth. And you think about the lessons of growing and how they can be applied to your own life. So working on this doctorate, I look at green spaces as spaces of teaching and learning. So there is this pedagogical aspect to growing. When you sit down and really think about the classroom in the traditional sense, with the four walls and the desk and the teacher in the front of the room, you can have that same experience by growing something. That plant can be your teacher, that you can learn about weather patterns, you can learn about soil patterns, you can learn how the sun impacts the growth or the decline, because it might get too much sun. But there are so many metaphors that are associated with growing that it literally becomes a classroom.
Someone just told me that he realized he had made a mistake. He had heard about nettle rot, and then nettle rot was a great plant fertilizer, and so he put it on his plants every day. And, of course, they got moldy.
Okay. There isn't such thing as too much of a good thing.
The garden will very quickly show you that there's very quickly too much of a good thing. As a matter of fact, when I'm teaching someone to water the plants in the pots, I say, they will survive being underwatered far better than they will survive being overwatered.
Completely agree with that. That's one of the reasons why I've been connected recently to my spirit plants. And I have a spirit animal, and now I have a spirit plant, which is used to be called the mother-in-law's tongue, but they call it by the name the snake plant. What I love about the spiritual aspect of this snake plant is what you just said, that it can thrive in spaces that are dark. It can thrive in spaces that are light. It can thrive off of neglect. so the underwatering can still provide life. And it doesn't take a lot of effort to grow a snake plant. And that's my new spirit plant.
It is a plant that covers an island near where my daughter lives in Costa Rica. And you can only leave the island. And this is the island where they bury their dead, and it is covered in snake plant.
Oh, wow. Wow. I need to know more about that location. I might be there in May.
Okay, it's the Nicoya Peninsula.
Thank you. Thank you. And you said it's covered in snake plants.
Uh-huh. Hermit crabs and snake plant and cairns, you know, places where people's bodies are, is what's on that island. And you walk over, it's a fair walk, you know, through a pretty shallow water. But you better get back before that water gets deep, because it gets too deep to walk through.
Right.
Right.
But I have this visual. I have this visual of how the ancestors, and this connects to the eco-spirituality of growing, but how the ancestors are buried, and those spirits are then transplanted, literally, into
yes.
those plants.
Yes.
So being able to grow in community with someone from the other side would be so magnificent to be able to share that moment. And I don't know if they are allowed to bring those snake plants into their homes in Costa Rica, but just to be there among those that have transitioned would
yes.
be an honor.
Yeah, yeah. It is absolutely amazing place to be and to feel all of the flow of the ocean there, and there are millions of hermit crabs, right? You sit and you think it's a quiet beach, and then if you sit there quietly, suddenly the whole beach comes alive, and every single shell on the beach gets up and starts walking.
I can see it. I can see that.
And you think, am I in an Alfred Hitchcock movie, or is this really happening?
This is happening. We coexist.
It's really happening. So let me ask you, do you know my good friend, the eco-sexualist Annie Sprinkle?
No, tell me more.
Oh, you and Annie Sprinkle are going to create so much yumminess together when the two of you get together. One of my favorite stickers from Annie says, composting makes me hot.
So an eco-sexualist. Oh, please put us in contact with one another.
Yes,
because my brother always makes fun of me. And he might even be on this call tonight. My brother Leonard Green will laugh at me and my love affair for trees. The way he presents my words back to me is like, oh, they're so tall and they're so wide and the branches are so long. So I did not know that there was a such thing as an eco-sexualist. So
there are a whole lot of them. She has a whole following all over the world.
Yeah, we need to get together. We can do some things because even in my research,
I will admit that I got into some trouble on a co-ed camping trip when I said that most trees are much better lovers than most men.
Ooh, yeah, you would get in trouble for that one.
Well, and mostly I got in trouble because all the women agreed with me.
Interesting. But I like the way this ties into like grounding and earthing. Part of my workshop series, if you go to MotherEarthAcademy.me, is an earthing workshop where I invite people to like literally be present with Mother Earth in an intimate fashion, where we are removing our shoes, digging our toes into the soil, and like really planting ourselves in that space. So what I see in that connection of not just eco-sexuality and sensuality, but eco-intimacy, being one with Mother Earth in that form of connection.
To be instead of do.
You must have been reading some of my dissertation.
I was listening to Frank Sinatra. Doopy 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 doo.
Oh. Yes. Because I literally wrote that probably a couple weeks ago, that we are human beings, but we don't focus on the be. We are so busy focused on the doing that we forget to live in the present moment. We forget to hit pause. We forget to have a moment of slowness. The lessons that we learn from growing that we could apply to like just everyday life is a slow journey of development. But when we are constantly on the go as a human doing rather than a human being, we forget that and we miss out on that opportunity.
A wise person once said, joy is like a butterfly. You can't ever catch it, but if you sit still, it will come and light on you.
Received. I'm curious to ask, how do you view, and I know this is you supposed to interview me, but how do you see joy versus happiness? How do you receive those two words?
Joy is something that you suddenly realize you're experiencing, whereas happiness, usually you think is something you have to get.
We are on the same page. We're on the same page. When people ask me about Black joy, and I go beyond the theorization with those six poetic pillars, I have to explain to them that joy happens within. That happiness happens to you. So there's a, for me, at least in my research and my lived experience, that there's a difference between the two. Because your happiness can fade. There are plenty of people that walk around in this world with a smile on their face and they appear to be happy. But joy is that thing that happens within that allows you to overcome and deal with those moments when they present themselves. Thank you for being on the same page with me with that definition.
Yes, I feel a real kinship with the way that we are inviting people onto the playground.
And I am definitely a big kid. I tell my daughters, like, I'm the baby. I tell my brother the same thing. I'm the baby. And even though I am almost 48 years old, I still have the spirit of a kid, because we should never stop playing. And the day that I stop playing is the day that I stop living.
To play, to be curious, to delight, to be in awe. These are the nutrients that build joy.
Accurate. Absolutely accurate.
What inspired you to create Total Joy Tuesdays, and I'm going to get it wrong, Slow Love Sundays?
Well, kind of. You mixed the words up a little bit, but they have some pretty similar meanings. And before I tell you what the real words are, I like Slow Love Sunday. That's not it, but I'm going to have to plant that seed. But yes, I need some Slow Love Sunday. So if my brother's listening, we need to make a Shea Butter line called Slow Love Sunday.
There you go.
But the reason why I decided to create that was to build off of the Shea Butter that we are launching through Shea Creations. And my brother has an extensive line of Shea Butters. And we decided to join forces because he knows my love of nature and trees, of course, specifically. And pulling from the Shea tree and looking at how can we bring a product to the concept of joy. And I released a documentary in early 2021 that was entitled TJ Collection, which was true joy, but it was also in honor of my dad, Thomas James. So our first release was, under my line, was true joy. And looking at the ability to slow down, looking at the invitation to be present with our bodies, this created an opportunity to develop an event where we invite people to do both. True joy on Tuesdays, where we slow down. I give them a word of inspiration that came from the healing garden and literally hold space for healing and self-restoration. And then invite them to turn cameras off, because this is a virtual experience, but turn your cameras off and I will walk you through the journey of putting that Shea Butter on in a slow and loving, so there's your slow love, in a slow, loving fashion, that we are showing love to ourselves, no matter who that may be, we deserve that self-love. So True Joy is one of the products, and the other product is, and I love it. Wait for it. Can you think about it? Self-love. Yes. So we have true joy and we have self-love. And the difference between the two events and experiences, it's similar in time. It's about 90 minutes. It's similar in design, that you will get a word of wisdom. I will create and hold space for healing and self-restoration, and that you will also be able to turn your cameras off and love up on yourself with the Shea Butter. But the difference between the two is that Self-Love Sunday is for anybody. Absolutely anybody can join that experience, but we are limiting that to only 12 people. So anybody, any demographic. With True Joy Tuesday, it helps to support my mission of Black Joy. I have had several non-Black people approach me and love what I'm doing and ask how to support Black Joy when they're not Black. How can they support the mission? How can they contribute to the research? What can they do to show their support of this movement? So I just decided to create another event that would be targeted specifically to Black people and give them the same experience, that we can have this kinship space, this sacred space, where we are doing the same things that we would do in Self-Love Sunday. So that's where they came, that's where the two events came about. They tie into the Shea Butter lines, and it's really inviting people to love up on themselves.
Well, I can't think of anything better for most of us to do.
Yes.
But cultivate joy.
What did you do?
I've been writing a new course, and the lesson I'm going to write tonight is called Get Over Yourself and Get Under Yourself.
Okay.
Right, because most people don't go out and do what they need to do because I don't know enough. There's a whole list of excuses, right?
Mm-hmm. right?
And really, that's a, that kind of put down is really egotism.
Hmm.
It's really, you know, like saying that you have to be some perfect being, right? You just went out and did this TED Talk because you were inspired to do it, not because you thought you were the best person ever in the whole universe.
Right. Right.
Right? Get over yourself. You don't have to be the best person. You just do it. And that means you have to get under yourself. You have to support yourself. You have to stop cutting yourself down at every opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I know, and you see a lot of that.
Yes, in order to do that, you have to learn how to love yourself. You have to be able to be on that airplane and literally take what the flight attendant said to heart. In case of an emergency, this mask will drop down, and your responsibility is to put it on you first.
It's so hard for so many women to feel entitled.
It is.
Entitled to take any time for themselves.
It is. And
I attended a yoga class, a virtual yoga class, for seniors, which was defined as anyone over 45, led by a wonderful black woman, and she ended every class with this mantra, which we were to repeat after her, and I love her for it. I am enough.
Mm-hmm.
I do enough. I give enough.
Yes. And to bring the academic component into this discussion, this narrative of the strong black woman phenomena is deeply embedded into the black identity, where it becomes and has become a multi-generational narrative. It's connected to a concept called ethics of care. And within this concept, it's literally an ethical theory that assigns value to helping others almost at the expense of helping oneself. And throughout history, I mean, we're looking at hundreds of years, that there has been black women caring for everybody in this nation but themselves. So one of the other reasons why I love True Joy Tuesdays is that I'm giving black women that moment. I'm creating that space where it's okay to say no to the demands of the day until we say yes to the demands of ourselves. It is okay to remove the metaphorical cape associated with being the strong black woman. It is okay to take it back to church to say, not today, Satan. It's okay to say, this is about me, and to tie it into what you said, I am enough.
I am enough, I do enough, and I give enough. What a great mantra for every woman to take to heart and to know that taking time for self-love and for true joy is going to manifest out into every relationship. Every person you care about and that you love will feel more of your love when you first loved yourself.
Yes. And I love the way you tied that in, and I guess you really were doing your research on me, because one of my papers was called Learning How to Fly in the Academy. And FLY was an acronym that stood for First Love Yourself. So imagine pulling the concept of learning how to fly, the idea, the physical process of loving your body inch by inch, and saying, I love you toes, I love you feet, I love you calf. Giving gratitude. And I'm pausing for a moment because I'm being transported to one day when I was walking about a month ago, that I got into this meditative space where every step that I took became a step of gratitude that allowed me to say, thank you, toes, for your connection to my feet that would allow me to move forward to my destination. Thank you, ankles, for allowing my feet to move back and forth in a fluid motion so that I can make it to my destination. Thank you, calves. And I literally worked my way up with my words of showing gratitude to my body. But now we have a product that we can apply in the space of gratitude and to have the conversation. This becomes that teachable moment of how do we show ourselves love? Because that comes up too. It's like, yeah, I know I need to love myself more, but how do I do that?
Love Sunday and total joy Tuesday. And, you know, I could just go on talking to you forever, but it's a blog talk show and they slam the door on us. I want to be sure that you share again how women can get in touch with you now that they want to come to Self Love Sunday and Total Joy Tuesday.
All you have to do is go to MotherEarthAcademy.me. Click on special events and you will see where you can sign up. And I would love to have you there and then bring your echo sexualist or whatever her title was.
Echo sexualist Annie Sprinkle and her lover Beth. And the woman, the black woman who led the yoga class is Miriam Phelps. She leads quite a few yoga classes online. She's wonderful if you're looking for an online yoga class. Even if you're not an old lady, she leads other classes too. There was a special event sponsored by AARP, which was free. It was really, really beautiful gift. So, MotherEarthAcademy.me. Chris, I envision that we are reweaving the healing cloak of the ancients. And I want to thank you for the beautiful threads and the designs that you are helping us see in this cloak. It's like there's a texture that you bring to it that raises the awareness of things that we have felt that have perhaps not been willing to claim the joy and the love of. So thank you so much for all that you are doing, reweaving the healing cloak of the ancients, all of us together. And Sarah Ellen, thank you for helping me once again restore herbal medicine to its rightful place as people's medicine. And thank you, listeners, for doing the same thing. We're going to, Chris Omni, Susan Reed, and Sarah Ellen, wish you true joy and lots of self-love. Green blessings and good night.